We're going to be speaking on the subject this morning, which is the third in a series on the God of all comfort. There'll probably be some repetition, and I think repetition's good because if we don't remember it the first time, maybe we'll get it the second time. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed. Everybody say blessed. Amen. Be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. Everyone say all comfort. If you're comforted, and especially those that are Christians, you can praise God for it. Amen. He is the God of all comfort. All comfort. Who comforts us in all. Everybody say all. All our tribulations. And the reason he does that is not only just so that we can be comforted, but this part of the verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that he does this so that not only we can be comforted, but that we'll be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with a comfort that is the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's difficult for us to bring comfort to anyone else if we don't have the comfort of God in ourselves. Amen? If you've ever been around someone, and I know that we all have, that I've gone through a loss of a loved one, or gone through some difficulties or trials, and the enemy's tried to, or maybe circumstances and situations in life where the enemy's tried to worry them and fill them with doubt and take away their hope and their faith. And we know them, and we're friends to them, and we understand their circumstances, and oftentimes we can't do anything about their circumstances. Nobody can except God. But one thing we can do is we can help them and give them the assurance with the Word of God that God is the God of all comfort, and He will comfort them. If they'll turn to Him and look to Him and depend on Him, He'll be the God of comfort to them. Amen? He's the God, and then He uses us. Those of us who have been comforted, He uses us so that we can be also of comfort. How many of you have been comforted by some other Christian? Brother, sister, husband, wife, child, family member, pastor, whatever. You've found comfort. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for that. And I hope you did praise God for that. Because he tells us in verse 5, there are some sufferings of Christ that those of us go through that are bound in us. And just as those sufferings that we go through as Christians, we all, as human beings, we all go through various things, right? As Christians, sometimes we go through more different various things because we're translated out from the kingdom power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And because we get involved with spiritual warfare. Amen? So our consolation also abounds. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast because we know. Everybody say no. We need to know that as we are partakers of the sufferings and the issues that we go through as Christians, so also will we be partakers of the consolation. Amen? Or the comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. And Paul was one of the most troubled and the most imprisoned and the most beat up Christian, I guess, we ever heard of in the New Testament. And he was the one that was probably while he calls himself the least of all apostles, he was probably the greatest. He wrote most of the New Testament, amen, and he was used to evangelize the then known populated world. Can somebody say amen to that? And he suffered all kinds of persecutions and he didn't want, sometimes as Christians we need to be careful because we kind of want to hide what we're going through. And sometimes we need to hide what we're going through. Amen. We don't want to be an idiot and go around confessing everything that we go through. would probably embarrass ourselves and somebody else along with us if they knew what we were going through sometimes. But he didn't want us to be ignorant of the fact that of the trouble which came to us in Asia, and here was some of the problems that he went through, and this is the reason why he was able so strongly through the Word of God and through the preaching of God and through his ministry when he was here on this earth, especially. This is why he was so able to be such a comfort to others, because he was burdened. We were burdened beyond measure. He said, I was burdened. And here's one of God's greatest men in the Bible. You listen? He was burdened beyond measure. He came to the point to where he was ready to give up. He came to the point to where he didn't know if he could take any more. He came to the point to where he just thought he might as well go ahead and die and go home. It would be better for him. He says, beyond measure and above strength. I came to the point where I didn't even have any strength to go on. I felt like giving up. Any of us ever been there? Amen. That's when God stepped in, when he can step in. Amen. And that's when he does that. He said here, above strength, and here is this great man of God, so that we despaired. He said, I even despaired of my life. I just said, God, I might as well just go ahead and commit suicide or have someone kill me and get out of here. Have y'all ever been through anything like that? But he says in verse 9 that we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, I realize that I don't have to, and Christians, we need to understand this. It's not that we do in ourselves. We realize this brings us actually what God is doing through this, so we can find his comfort and his peace. He's trying to bring us to the end of ourselves. You understand where I am? I don't mean to the end of ourselves so we give up and die. I mean that he brings us to the end of ourselves, because as we've grown up in this world, the world tells us, and everywhere you read about success, you need to do this, you need to do that, you know, do all of these things and you will be successful, and you know, this is how you're supposed to think, and we're supposed to do all of these things. And most of the time, now there are some out there that are Christians, organizations and Christian ministries, and they give us the Word of God and they tell us how we're supposed to do this, and that's what I'm trying to explain to you right now. But most of them tell us that we're supposed to do that in our own strength and by our own power and our own ability. Well, when you come to the point of despair, where you even despair your very life, you don't have much strength and much ability to do anything. If you've been there, you understand what I'm talking about. So God is trying to teach us that if the sooner we come to the end of ourselves and quit trying to fix ourselves and help ourselves, does that mean we give up? No, that doesn't mean we give up. It means we give in. We give in to God. And when we give up on ourselves because we have come to the point and the place in our lives where we can't help ourselves, and we realize we can't help ourselves. And a lot of us have come to these circumstances, myself included, many times where I'm trying to do something, I'm trying to accomplish something, and everything that I'm doing is just coming, it's like running into a dead end. I can't get it done. I can't get it accomplished. And that's when I learned over the years that bring it to God right at the beginning. Bring it to God, bring it to Him right at the beginning, when it starts, when you feel like something's going on in your life that you don't like, or something that you don't understand, or something you think somebody needs to do something about, or maybe you need to do something about. That's when you stop. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, be still and know that I am God. Another passage of Scripture says, and I had to memorize, and I had to learn that. I not only had to learn that, I had to put it in practice. He says, this is your strength. This is their strength, that they sit still. Stillness sometimes is not a sign of defeat. Stillness in this particular case, and because we're depending on God, we're casting all of our cares to Him. We're coming to Him in a totally complete helpless state and saying, God, I can't do anything about any of this. I don't want to try to do anything. I've already been trying to do things for a long time, and they haven't been working. Are you listening? Or maybe sometimes, unfortunately, they did work. And when they did, that made us feel like, well, maybe we can do this after all. But the Bible tells us, as Paul said, I can do all things. Are you with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Bible tells us without Him, we can't do anything. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do anything, because we all have done a whole lot of things, right? Without Him. That means if we're going to do something that's going to help ourselves and help others and help us maintain a relationship and a fellowship with God and get to know Him and realize He's our friend, we're going to have to do something. Amen? We're going to have to trust Him. We're going to have to get into His Word. We're going to have to depend on His Word. It's not a bad thing. It's a bad thing when you come to God and command and demand that He do things. Some Christians do that. I don't want to do that. I don't know that if God help me, I don't think I've ever done that. I don't want to ever do that. When I come to God, I want to come to Him in awe. I want to realize that I am before, and we all do, as Christians and as believers, and even as non-believers, we can come to God and say, Lord, save me. Amen? He's made provisions for us to do that. And He wants us to do that. So when I come to Him, I come in awe. I don't come in fear. The fear of God is not I'm trembling and shaking and I don't want to come to Him. The fear of God is that I fear Him in His awe and in His judgment and in His goodness and His mercy. And when I come before Him, I don't come as a proud individual. I come humbly before Him in recognition and awe of who He is. And that's the way all of our prayers should be before Him. When I come into the presence of God, and even if I'm going down the highway in my car and I carry on a conversation with God just about everywhere I am. We can do that, you know. And why we can do that is why? Because our body is a habitation of God through the Spirit. Don't you realize the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? That makes you a temple of God. Amen? Now, we do need to come to church. We need to associate with Christian people because we need to help them and we need the help that they can give us. And we can be encouraged by all of this. Amen? And that's what God wants us to do. Be encouraged. That's what I'm trying to do here this morning. Amen? Because God wants that for you. And I want that for you. And because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Wow. I ain't even got to my other passages of Scripture that I want to read. I guess I just get excited about this. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick with me. And let's begin reading in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And I think I'm reading from the King James Version. It may be the Amplified. The New King James Version. I'm not sure which. But it says pretty much basically the same thing. For it is the God. Which God? The God, the only God, that's right. But the God in this case, he's pointing out something that he wants us to remember. That God, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. He created the light when there was nothing but darkness. God said, light be. Boy, there was light. Amen. I don't know if there was a moon or no sun, but anyway, He's the light. Amen. When Jesus was His representative, He said, I am the light of the world. Amen? God is the light of everything. Light means the ability to see, but it also means life. We wouldn't be born into this world if it wasn't for God. Amen? You didn't birth yourself into this world. You say, well, my parents did. Yeah, but God made it, helped it to happen. He knew who we were before we were ever born. In fact, he tells us, I think, and he told David in Psalm, I knew you, well, while you were being in your mother's room, I knew you. Amen? He knows you. He knows us. We can't hide anything from him. Or it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who, to those of us who are Christians, has shone in our hearts. And the reason he's done that is to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what we have. That's the reason the Bible tells us that we are children of, not just children of God, but as believers, as Christians, we're children of light. I had a good preacher friend years and years ago. We were talking. He came to me one day and we were out just talking and visiting together. He said, God showed me something, I think he said last night in a dream or last night when he was laying on the bed. He said, but anyway, or whenever it was, it's not important. He said, God revealed to me something. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, Brother Lewis, he revealed to me that I'm light. I said, wow, what a revelation. We all need that revelation. He said, let to those that were believers and had God as their heavenly Father and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to us in his gospel in Matthew, let your light, that's actually really not your light as we're talking about here, that is the light that God has made us in Christ Jesus. You are the light of the world. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. And that's not necessarily your good works. I need to explain that because that's God's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure as we yield to him and allow him to work in us. Somebody said, well, what's the difference? The difference is just this. People can tell the difference between God's works and your works. Amen? Boy, they sure can. Because there's a lot of works through religion and things that we can do that religion basically, and churches and churchianity and religious stuff, that basically glorifies the religion and the person. But he says, let it, because in Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 12, says at the last part of the verse says, work out your own salvation. And then the next verse, verse 13, I think it is, says, the last part of that verse says, work out your own salvation, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm saying this because this is tremendously important when people see our good works, that God works in us as we depend on him and as he trusts him. They don't glorify us. They glorify God. Why? Because they know and understand, as we know and understand, that the works that God is doing through us, we couldn't do. Amen? And so they glorify God. I am a work of God. Let me just say something. I am a work of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God took me as a poor, miserable, ungodly man. If I told you my background, you wouldn't believe it. I don't care about how bad. You say, well, did you ever kill anybody? Well, the Bible says if you have hate in your heart towards somebody, you've killed them. Might as well kill them. Amen? Boy, I had some people I really tried to kill when I got a hold of them. You listen to me? I remember two guys when I was, well, I don't need to go in, 15 or 16, come by my house, shot at me with BB guns riding on horses, and I ran as fast as I could, grabbed both of them, pulled them off the ground, and I just beat the fire out of them. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. I wasn't always a good, I'm not like what you see right now. I was made, I became a new creation. When I came to God, that's the kind of person I was. When I came to God, I didn't know how to pray. I was brought up in a church. I had religion. My name was on the church roll. I had a baptismal certificate that said I was saved. But I wasn't. I didn't know God from a lizard. And not only that, I didn't want to know Him. If there was a God, I didn't want Him in my life. I wanted to do my own, and I was doing my own thing. Are y'all listening to me? And when God got a hold of me and convicted me that if I died in the way I was, in my condition that I was in, I was going straight to hell, and I knew He was right. So, when I met my wife, she said, I don't go with anybody that does like you do. If you drink, I'm not going to go with you. If you do that, I'm not going to go with you. If you do this, I'm not going to go with you. In fact, I don't even know why I'm going with you. And she said, I've had enough of this in my life. With her family, was dysfunctional, as most every family is, more or less. And she said, I'm going to church, and if you're going to go to meet with me, you're going to go to church with me. I said, my Lord, what have I got here? And I loved her. I mean, I was in love with this girl. And she connived with my sister, and they really got a hold of me. Are you? Isn't that funny? I didn't know what was going on. I was ganged up on and beat up on and caught before I realized I was even hooked. So I started going to church with her, and I started hearing the Word of God preached. Thank God I went to a church where I could hear the Word of God being preached. And it wasn't long till I come under conviction. That means I was convicted that I needed my religious churchianity and religiosity, and my baptismal certificate wasn't going to get me into heaven. I needed to have a relationship with God. And that's so, as the preacher preached one Sunday morning, I just said, I felt God dealing with me in my spirit, and I said, I don't know what to pray or how to pray, but I'm going to go down there and I'm going to give myself to the Lord. And I'm going to say, God, please save me. And I did. And I walked down the aisle of the church and knelt down at an altar, kind of like this right here. And I didn't know how to pray. I just said, God, help me. I need whatever it is I need. Give it. And I got up from there, and I've never been the same since. God did a work in my life. He translated me out from the kingdom of power of darkness in my spirit being, and He translated me into the kingdom of light. And I become a child of light. God become my heavenly Father. Jesus became my Savior. And God put me His Holy Spirit within me so that my body at that instant become the habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen? Now, I didn't know all of this. I didn't know what had happened to me. But I mean, you understand this. I knew something had happened to me. Amen? And I knew it was good. Because now, I had a desire quickened by my spirit in me that wanted to call to God before this experience that I didn't want to have anything to do with in my life. Didn't even care if He existed. Took His name in vain and lived totally ungodly and all the other things that I did. Now I wanted to come into His presence and call Him Heavenly Father.
Wow. What a change. And then it wasn't long after that that I was sitting in a church we started attending. And on a Wednesday night service, the associate pastor and the youth leader in that church was preaching on a Wednesday night, preaching a sermon. And he was telling people that are Christians, you need to commit your life to God. And he was talking about missionaries and ministers and all that kind of stuff. Well, I felt something in my heart, like in my spirit, that God wanted me to do that. Here I am telling you, I'm just going to go on. I'm going to tell you, all right? I felt in my spirit that God wanted me to give myself to Him. And I didn't know how to give myself to God. Because back then, particularly in that particular religion that I was in, or that churchianity part thing, they believed if you surrendered to the ministry, you need to surrender to something specifically. You need to surrender to be a missionary in China or Afghanistan or Timbuktu or something. Are you listening to me? Or you need to be surrendered to be a preacher or a pastor or a missionary, or you need to make some kind of, you need to surrender to that. And so as much as I felt like the Spirit wanted me to go down to the altar and give myself to God, I wanted to know, well, what was I giving myself to Him for? Are you with me? So a couple of days later, I got a hold of my pastor. I said, I need to talk to you. And so that following week, I got to talking to him. And I said, you know, I went and talked to him. And I said, I felt like God is calling me to do something, but I don't know what He's calling me to do. I don't know if He wants me to go to Africa or where or whatever. He said, Lewis. He didn't call me Brother Lewis. He said, Lewis. Now, we're talking to somebody here that's 19 years old. 20. I think 19 or I was somewhere along in there. Pardon? It's been a day or two ago. You're right. He said, Lewis, this Sunday morning, if you still feel that way and you're making that commitment to God, then you don't commit to Him for any specific thing. You just come to Him and say, God, here's my life. Do with me what you want to do. And that's what I did. And wow. Wow. I was so filled with the Spirit of God, it was unbelievable. I can't even begin to describe, but it wasn't very long after that. And I'll never forget this moment because it happened at about this same time. My wife and I was in the Air Force. We were stationed in Victoria, Texas. I was in the medics. I don't know if that makes any difference or not, but I thought I'd tell you where I was. And we lived in an apartment, and a couple that lived in front of us, he worked at Dow Chemical. And, of course, I was in the Air Force. And it was in Victoria. It was in the afternoon. I don't know if it was a Saturday or it was kind of sounded like a weekend because I was home. And there was a norther coming in, and it was just coming into Victoria like you've seen the northers come in around here. And right there, not too far from me, maybe a couple of miles, there was real black, fierce-looking norther-type clouds and thunder rolling and lightning flashing. And I was standing in my backyard, and I was looking up. After I'd made that commitment and felt the Spirit of God in my life, I stood right there in that backyard as the lightning was flashing and the thunder was rolling. And I said with all of my heart, God, if you can't use me for your kingdom, send lightning right now and strike me dead, because if I can't live for you, I don't want to live at all. Now you're looking at somebody that went into the ministry, got an education, for whatever that's worth. I didn't want to do that either. God told me to. Not for his benefit, but for everybody else's benefit, because they won't listen to you, Lewis, unless you have an education. Got to have a degree. So I went through that, my wife and I, with two babies. We did, I'm just telling you, from that day to this, I have never, ever been the same. I don't want to be the same. I just want to be what God wants me to be, which is what I am right now. We started this church. God told, they came to me years, 35 years ago, whenever we started this church. I've started, I think, and worked with starting two or three different churches. But when they came to me, some brethren that I knew real well, we were having a Bible study in our house in Portland, Texas. They came to me and said, "Brother Lewis, we want to start a church." And I said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "Where do you want this church?" "In Ingleside." I said, "Well, they already have about 15 or 20 there. Why would they want another one?" "Well, we feel like God wants a different one." So, "Well, I'm going to have to pray about that." "Well, look, while you're praying about it, come on over. We're having a meeting on Sunday." So I went over there. He had a business, had a little garage place, and we all met in there, and there was about 15 or 20. And they said, "We're going to start a church." I hadn't told him anything yet, and said, "Brother Lewis is going to be our pastor." I said, "What?" "Yeah, what?" So we started this church. This church, I'm not bragging, I mean, on churches necessarily, because you look at this church right now and all this building, this property, we had 10 acres. We bought this building. Everything we have, that's another story. We don't owe anything at all on it. God paid for all of this. I mean, all of it. Basically, he paid for all of it just about with one time, which I think I've shared with, I don't really share that right now. But at the same time, he cleared all of my debts. He paid off all my credit cards, all my cars, all of my bills. I went completely out of debt. Hadn't been in debt since. Hadn't worried about debts, paying bills. I don't worry about anything. When enemy tries to worry me, and I have a lot of look, at some time I look at myself in the mirror and I have a lot of things to worry about. And I think, I'm not supposed to worry about it. The Bible says, "Be anxious, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing." This is one of the scriptures I had written down this morning. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything," don't worry about anything, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's what he says. That's God's promise. That's something we can't do. We can cast our cares on him, but that means to cast our cares on him means we're going to stop worrying about it. Amen? We're going to not worry about it. We're going to trust him. And what happens when we do that is two things happen. The first of all, the thing that happens is, and I'll just forget about all this. I'm going to... The first thing that happens is we're free. We cast that worry and that doubt and that fear and whatever it is that's going, we cast that on him. And the first thing it is we have the peace of God. You ever experienced the peace of God? That's a peace beyond anything. You can't bring that kind of peace. We can't bring that kind of peace into our lives. That's the peace of God. He says, "The peace of God will guard your hearts through Christ Jesus, and it's the peace of God that passes understanding. The peace of God that passes all understanding will garrison or guard your minds through Christ Jesus. What it does, is that Philippians 4:7. The peace of God that passes all understanding, it means that when I bring this fear, or we as believers, maybe it's the fear of I'm being lost and I'm going to go to hell. Maybe it's the fear I'm not saved. Whatever it is. Maybe it's the fear I'm going bankrupt, or maybe it's the fear I'm going to lose my automobile, or I'm going to lose my job, or what, maybe it's just, there's all kinds of fears in this world. I don't need to go through and describe all those. We all know about those things. Things that fear is anything that concerns us overly much so that we get unsettled. Does that make a good sense to you? And so when I bring that to Him and cast it upon Him, casting all of my doubts, fears, and worries, He gives me His peace. Amen? It's His peace. The worry is gone. The fear is gone. The doubt, the frustration is gone. Now, that doesn't mean that in my mind and in my real world, the problem may have not have been taken care of yet. You with me? But as far as I'm concerned, it's been taken care of because God's peace is letting me know I got this. Amen? I got this. You quit worrying about it. I'll take care of it. Amen? And sometimes He does it instantaneously, and sometimes it takes a while. But the Bible tells us to hold on with our faith, fight the good fight of faith, and the peace of God that passes understanding will garrison and guard our hearts. And so, and let faith, I tell you this over and over again, but you need to understand it. Patience is faith in work in our life. Patience is faith at work in our lives. In other words, it hasn't happened yet, but I have the peace of God that passes understanding in my heart, and I am sure that it's going to work, even though that the enemy tries to fill me with doubts and fears and frustrations. I don't let him do that anymore because I am full of the peace of God, and I can say to him now, God has that. I'm in His hands. He's going to take care of it. And you're not going to get me worried and frustrated. I'm not going to go back over and go do what I did in past times and try to take care of it. I'm going to let Him take care of it because I can't handle it anyway. Amen? All right, so what comes first when we cast all of our cares upon Him and depend on Him and turn this over to Him? Is number one comes the peace of God. Romans 5, I think it's verse 5, Romans 5, 5. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts through Christ Jesus. And also it says, we have the peace of God. The peace of God. So first of all, we have peace of God. And that peace of God, second, we have the Holy Spirit that was in us. We have the Comforter. Jesus said, the Comforter that I'm going to send to you. Fears filled your heart, guys, you disciples. You don't realize I did come to set up a kingdom, but what they didn't realize is that the kingdom He set up was not of this world. It was in the spiritual realm. And they were looking for a spiritual world, a kingdom to be set up, and he said, now is not the time for my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. But He said, I'm having to go away. They didn't understand the guy that they had been following for almost 4 years was fixing to go to the cross and be crucified by the Roman government and would be buried. And all of their hopes, as far as their following Him was concerned, were gone. They were now in the grave. Can you imagine those 12 men that followed Him for 3, 3.5, 4 years, whatever it was, almost 4 years, thinking that He was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and when He was crucified and His body is now buried in a tomb, what do you think happened to them? Peter said, I'm going home. You with me? Some of them said, well, we're going to go up and we're going to go pray. Jesus had tried to tell them 2 or 3 times, but they just so set on their idea, that they didn't understand His will. We are too sometimes. When Mary and Martha went to the tomb after the Sabbath day to take some spices to anoint the body, and they looked in there, and you, in fact, as a matter of fact, if you want to go to Israel and take the time to go over there, you can see His tomb where they laid Him. And it's still empty. The stone still rolled away. And when they went there that morning, the angel said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here, He's risen." When they started to leave, they run into Him. And he spoke her voice, said, and she thought He was the gardener. And she thought she was talking to the gardener. I'm going to go on with this story. I want to finish here real quick because this is good. Change your life. And she said to him, thinking he was a gardener, "Sir, where have you taken the body? Where have you put it? Tell me and I'll go get it." You listening? And all he did was said, "Mary." Boy, she heard that voice. She knew exactly who that was. She said, "My Lord and my God." And fell before Him. And he said, "Don't touch me right now. You've caught me in the process. I'm ascending to my Father in heaven. I'm going to go up there and my blood's going to be spread up there on the altar for you." Amen? And when you see the blood, He'll pass over you. Amen? And she went running back and said, "Went to the tomb and it's empty. And I met Him and He called me by name." And they said, "Woman, you are completely, totally out of your mind." We saw Him die. We saw the soldier punch the spear in His side. We saw the blood and water flow out, and we watched them carry Him away from the cross and put Him in a tomb. "He's dead." She said, "No. He's alive. He's alive forevermore." Amen? And that's, I don't know who some people are really worshiping in their religion, but I'm having a relationship and I'm dealing with the person who's alive. He's not dead. And He changed my life. He'll change anybody's life if they'll give Him an opportunity. Amen? Thank you for being here. Pray God's richest blessings upon you. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. I'm not sure my wife's twin brother, Leslie C. Phillips Jr., passed away this week, and he was in hospital, and then they moved him to hospice, and he passed away last night. So we're going to have a funeral for him at Charlie Marshall's funeral home. Just pray for Pat, that's his wife, and his children. They're taking it pretty hard, as you can understand. I miss him. I'm going to miss him. But I told someone last night, today, and yesterday, he's as happy as he could be. Yes. He's with his twin daughter, his twin sister, my wife, her mom, her dad. Amen? There's a great reunion going on up there. Amen? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to those of us that are Christians. And if you read Beyond and Back and all these other things that you can read in books, different things other than the Bible, they'll tell you about some people that were dead, and some of them 3 or 4 days, and they saw their spirit, saw their bodies dead, and they came back to life. And all, did any of y'all read the book Beyond and Back and all of that? Well, anyway. I just have one book. That's the Bible. it tells me that, and that's enough for me. So when somebody tells me that happened to them, I just believe it, you know. Amen. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, you want to come to the altar to pray for somebody or to dedicate your life, or for whatever reason, if you want to come, come on right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Anybody, anywhere, come on. We're going to have a dismissal prayer. Anyone else, anywhere? Maybe something's been worrying you. Doubts or fears, or something's been troubling you. Finances or a job or a husband or a wife or children or whatever. Maybe you need to come and cast all of that on Him. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. We'll agree. You have some people here right now that will agree with you. Amen. If you want to come, anyone else, anywhere? Okay, we're going to be dismissed. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank You for Your marvelous love and grace. Again, we want to thank You for Your precious Holy Spirit, Your so great salvation. We want to thank You for being our comforter and giving us the peace that passes all understanding in our lives. We want to agree with these here at the altar in Jesus' name for whoever they're praying for, Lord. In Jesus' name, we agree together, knowing that You want to help them, strengthen them, and encourage them. So we agree with Him, Father, that You will do that in their lives and for those whom they're praying. And Father, for all of those who are here this morning that belong to You, we thank You for them. Thank You for giving them Your peace and Your comfort. Help them to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be everything You want them to be. Help them to realize that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that they are the light in this world and it's shining. They need to let their light shine. Put it on a bushel, not put it under a bushel, but put it on a mountaintop so it'll give light to all of those that can see. And we thank You, Father, for doing that in all of our lives, those of us that are Your children. We thank You, Father, for all those whose names are on our prayer list, that we lift before Your throne of grace, that have their various needs. Thank You, Father, we can agree with them and cast their cares along with ours onto You in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.